Thanks for calling Toyota. This is Jan.
I just adopted a new best friend, and I'm looking for a Toyota so we can make the most out of summer.
With a new RAV4, you can take your pup for a drive up the coast. You can take a Prius to the park, or you can take a Tundra to kayak at a remote lake.
One problem, Jan.
Oh?
My new best friend's a cat.
Your summer starts here, but it all ends June 3rd. Toyota, let's go places. Dealer inventory may vary. See your participating Toyota dealer for details.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Guys, we're really excited about this new sponsor. It's Snooze Mattress. They have something called the Snooze Flip, which is the most universal mattress on the planet. It's a mattress that is designed to fit everybody. It's actually the world's first 4-in-1 mattress. You can choose soft, firm, cool, or cozy. And then you can flip it to choose your comfort level. Then you can zip it with Snooze Mattress's reversible and washable temperature-regulated cover. They hooked a couple of us DNVR employees up with a new mattress. It's gotten great reviews. Everybody loves it. Super comfortable. And like I said, you can customize it to fit however you like to sleep. So what you need to do is go to snoozesleep.com. When you get there, you're going to use code DNVR. You're going to receive $250 off a mattress and $250 off an adjustable base. So this is an incredible deal. Go to snoozesleep.com, type in code DNVR. It's going to give you $250 off a mattress and $250 off an adjustable base. This is an awesome company made in Colorado by Colorado people, designed, of course, for the rest of the world. So check them out. Go to snoozesleep.com, use code DNVR.
All right, you guys ready for this?
I'm ready.
Oh, born ready. We're ready.
What is up, everybody? Welcome into the Losers Lounge.
Wow. Everything sucks.
The Nuggets fall to 2-2 at Utah. They drop to the Jazz. But perhaps more concerning, Nikola Jokic goes down. We think a knee contusion, knee to knee. Bump knees, probably could have played. Yeah. Nuggets being extra cautious. Maybe they should have, maybe they shouldn't have. I'm not too concerned about it, but we are, of course, going to get the latest from Brendan Vogt when he reports back from talking to Michael Malone. I don't know if there'll be a huge update on it, but I'm sure there'll be something said. Maybe we'll even talk to the top scorer of the game, Jokic. We might
maybe
even hear
We've
from him.
We've talked to guys after injuries before.
So you never
worse
know.
Worse injuries.
We're presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app. I'll tell you this. We always talk about how fun gambling can be, like when you're watching a game you don't have money on or with this or that. The final 2 minutes of this game were so exciting. Because we needed one more MPJ three.
Hell yeah, dude.
That cashed right at the, like at 12 seconds left it cashed. So it's very exciting. And we needed Jokic to remain the game's top scorer, which he was.
This is one of the crazier bets I can ever remember, man.
We sweated that out for the whole second half, just being like, well, maybe Jokic will still be top scorer. And he was. So we had something to get excited about at the very end. I'm joined by D-Line Co.
What's up, guys? Life is pain. Everything's bad. All the Nuggets are bad. I'm bad. Did I get it? Everything?
Everything's pretty bad, man. Yeah.
Okay. MPJ's bad.
MPJ might be bad. Over here, sporting a cursed mustache, it is Harrison Wood.
The mustache is definitely coming off.
It's coming
in about
get it out
an
of there.
Hour and a half.
Mustache you a question?
An hour and a half. It will be face? Off.
I don't want to put it all on your mustache.
I can
but
take
I do
blame.
Feel.
I can shoulder it.
I mean, who thought that was a good idea?
See, the thing is, I didn't even feel like it was a good idea. I shaved before I came here, and then it was already too late once I noticed I didn't shave it.
I thought you were going to tell us that you got cast as like a guy driving a white van in like an after school special.
Season 4 Narcos.
More of like an educational video for children.
Totally,
to like not go home. Yeah,
yeah. Like, when it's like, if they're like, Halloween is coming close.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
If you see this man, don't go to this guy's door.
So the Nuggets fall tonight. 122-110. This is a game that has a lot of emotions, I would say. Like a lot of... It's hard to know, like, should you feel
are there silver linings to this? Are there not silver linings? Just so much happened. I'm going to start with you, Harrison. Mm-hmm. I mean, the bench. So Jokic dominant. 24 points, 6 rebounds, 6 assists.
Dominant.
Rudy Gobert. I guess we're going to start with the Jokic thing.
Sure.
Here's what really bugs me. Oh, boy. You guys know I hate Gobert. It's like I just have this thing where I just can't stand the
guy.
Wait,
you do?
I really don't like Rudy Gobert. I think he's talented. Whatever. Like, he does these. He's not talented. He's tall and effective. But
he is tall.
But I just like hate his. I hate bigs that have no talent. Jokic got hurt tonight in large part because Gobert made such an awkward move. It was like impossible to understand his movements. Yeah. It was like the worst post move ever.
I'm totally cool with blaming this injury on Rudy Gobert.
I'm not blaming it on him. He wasn't trying to hurt him. I'm just saying it's like
do we know that
awkward do people know he cause injuries, him? And he's just so awkward like that it was a bummer. It's not his fault. He wasn't trying to do it.
Do we know for sure he wasn't trying to do it?
We don't.
He's a giraffe on ice
Some
skates
people are
is what
that.
He is. Like he just crashed into him.
We don't know a man's heart. We don't know his motives.
Here's a storyline, though, I'll tell you that you could take away from this game. Last year, the Jazz decided to go away from Rudy Gobert guarding Jokic because, you know, Jokic had been... They felt
47, brother.
But they felt like it wasn't... You know, they were like, we're getting killed. Look, we'll see. How bad could have damage could Jokic do if we put somebody else on him? Jokic went for 47, just absolutely cooked him. And then they put Gobert on him. He still cooked him. So then they bring Gobert to the bench really early. It might be their regular rotation. I really don't know the Jazz well enough to know. But they bring... Basically, Gobert was playing against Jokic a little bit, but a lot against the bench to do this. And to me, it almost feels like... I wonder if Quinn Snyder's just like, we're not beating them with Gobert on Jokic. And this is two times in a row now that we've seen this where the Jazz have just kind of punted on that matchup. And Jokic was on pace for a 50-point triple-double at the half.
Yeah. And then Gobert comes in and dominates against the Nuggets bench, which... was maybe more predictable than Jokic having a big night tonight.
Yeah, Quinn Snyder is like the, I mean, you know, say what you will about his
fits,
greasy sort of like degenerate gambler looks.
He's a great coach.
He's a great coach. He's really the one that famously guarded the back of Russell.
He's innovative. You can say that.
Yeah, yeah right. He'll actually look at a situation and be like, yo, Gobert cannot guard Jokic. Like,
right.
That's exactly what happened.
It's smart, man. Save Gobert. Don't let him get in foul trouble. Like, it's probably smart.
It's just crazy because it's very rare that you see a defensive player of the year, a guy that's just like dominant, and then somebody be like, and then a team be like, hey, man, there's one matchup you're just not good at, and we're going to have to just
– I know. Like,
we're going to put you on Aaron
Jeff
Gordon.
Green this work, right?
Yeah, Jeff Green. Go, like, dominate him. Yeah. But there's the flip side of this story is – you know, I wonder if teams will do this to Denver going forward. I mean, we're four games in. We're by no means definitive. There's some things that I think were very concerning, and like we're going to talk about those. But one of them is, does Denver need a backup center? Well, a team tonight that has Hassan Whiteside, who also was getting cooked by Jokic, maybe they felt like, okay, we could try this. But they felt like Gobert with that second unit was going to be dominant. It was 14-0 run almost immediately. And I wonder how many teams might do that. Say, hey, the Denver starters are good. We'll take that punch. But we're going to go put our 7-foot center, DeAndre Jordan, Dwight Howard, whoever it is, like we're going to go put them in the second unit and just hope he grabs every rebound. And I think it's a good strategy against that second unit.
I'm kind of surprised we didn't see Vlatko.
Well, he's hurt, actually.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
I guess I'm not surprised then.
He got hurt. I don't know how.
Yeah, he's out tonight.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well,
but that thing, Harrison, do you think – I mean, to me, that's one of – we just forget about some of the other stuff. That's one of the main storylines is Denver's very vulnerable if you're a team that can either stagger or has a second unit big that's just really big because you can't box him out. He's too tall.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know off the top of my head how many – NBA teams have like a true 7-footer as their backup.
If you're the Atlanta Hawks or I'm sorry, if you're just a team like say you have a Clint Capella or whatever, a rim rolling big.
Yeah.
Do you maybe say like, "Hey, we'll split duty on Jokic, but we're going to put our tall players on the second unit cuz they don't have any tall players."
I mean, maybe. Jeff Green and JaMychal Green aren't really going to be able to do much against a Clint Capella against
How many
Rudy
rebounds
Gobert.
Do you think they combined for? Dos Verdes.
7.
5.
Wow.
Jesus.
5 rebounds in 40 combined minutes.
That's
Did they
wild.
Each get 2.5?
Yeah. That's wild. I don't know. Will teams do that? I don't know. We'll see. What the first half showed me, though, was that if Quinn Snyder needs to move his 3-time defensive player of the year off of Nikola Jokic, like, that says a lot, I feel like.
I hope Jokic's fine because 24 points, 6 and 6, 8 of 9 shooting, guys.
He was ridiculous.
8 of 9 shooting. I mean, here's
his
the thing.
One miss was that little fadeaway that was like a really tough shot from the baseline from like that little gray area.
So Jokic just right now is just, he really is on a whole other level. And it sucks that this injury happened because, you know, I hopefully he doesn't miss any time and he's back on Friday. I mean, he already missed one half game. But, you know, hopefully he doesn't miss any more time because he's just really is on another level. And I don't want this momentum to stop at all. Like, we've seen Jokic be dominant for an entire year. He was the MVP. But what he did tonight is right up there with, like, any of the best halves he's had.
He was really trending towards having the best game of his career. Like, he actually was.
Yeah, he actually was.
Not hyperbole.
A 50-point triple-double against Gobert, where Gobert, like, going at the
only
Jazz
missing
like
one
that
shot.
Would be, yeah, only missing
on
one shot.
On the Jazz. But, I mean, look, I've said this many times. I think Nikola Jokic is the best player in the NBA. He's processing the game and just playing the game at a different level than anyone else right now, man. He really is. It's so easy for this guy, even against a three-time defensive player of the year.
So we got out
against anyone, man.
So we had to get that out of the way first because it's the fun part of the show tonight. Was the, you know, Jokic looks incredible.
Like Jokic is injured.
It does suck that he got injured, but just like up until that point, that was a 3.5 game stretch for Jokic that was like an all-time 3.5 game stretch. I would love to see the numbers on
Jokic. Was a +7 in this game.
It was a +7, and honestly, the numbers, like, Jokic with tonight's game is now averaging like 27 points per game on 90% shooting.
I don't know. I heard on the radio over here that he needs to step up.
Are you talking about the most Nuggets coverage?
I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm just I heard on the I
the
heard
most
on the
Nuggets
radio
coverage.
Nikola
it's
Jokic's
Jokic fault.
Needs to step up.
I think you know what the Nuggets need is a closer. I mean, if we're being totally honest, they need a closer.
But now we got to talk about the things that's really concerning. And where do you want to start? Do we want to attack this as a bench issue, or do you want to start with a Michael Porter issue? What do you think?
I mean, it's. I think it's the bench.
All right, let's start with the bench here because here's the thing. In the second half of tonight's game, now who knows what the rotation would have looked like if Jokic didn't go down. That threw a wrench in every single thing.
Of course.
But in the second half, they did not go to the all-bench lineup. Harrison, do you think we've seen the end of the all? It goes in the first half, in the first half, and it's a 14-0. I know it wasn't all on the bench, but when the full bench came in, it was like 8-0 or something. So have we seen the end of it?
I freaking hope so.
Like, really bad.
It's absolutely ridiculous, man. It's absolutely ridiculous how bad that group is. And it's been bad from minute one of the regular season. Do you remember the first game of the year, opening night in Phoenix? It was only a week ago. You probably should remember.
I remember.
I remember that back then.
That bench was awful in the first half. It was only saved because Will Barton played with the second unit. In the third and fourth quarter.
This game actually was, in the first half, almost identical to that Phoenix game, where it was like, Jokic dominant, first starter's doing good, bench comes in, and just immediately you're like,
oh my God. You have that, and you're like, okay, Barton and the bench, that worked for us against the Phoenix Suns. Pretty good team.
Yep.
We don't see that again until tonight.
Right.
And maybe that was only because Jokic got hurt at halftime. So my answer is, I don't know, because I really can't take like Michael Malone at his word anymore because everything he says, just he hasn't really followed through on with this bench in Bones Highland. So I don't know. I really hope not, though.
Yeah, I don't know. It just feels like they're building towards. I mean, it just feels like Michael Malone's MO is always he has to exhaust the possibility
definitely has
of
to
something
it.
Working before he'll abandon and change course. Like. But I mean, it's
exhausted.
It's bad, man. It's exhausted. It's exhausting. Like, the Austin Rivers experience has been troubling this year, to say the very least. Like, he's, I don't know what happened, man. He's lost all of his confidence. I don't know if he just came in.
This sounds like a tough take. Like, Austin Rivers was really good given the expectation of him.
Sure.
I don't think he was good last year. He had a phenomenal game three against the Portland Trailblazers.
Yes.
And actually, he had a phenomenal fourth quarter against the Portland Trailblazers. He hit 4 threes in a row.
Yeah.
It wasn't even a good game. And I'm not trying to rag on him or kick him down. I think that he got a little overrated a little bit by when people talked about him because of that one game, which, given, did save the season.
But, I mean, he didn't look this hapless ever. Like, right now he looks as though he did. Like, he looks like me out there.
The reason Austin Rivers stands out so much is because he just holds the ball.
Yeah, like, he does
jabs
hold it a lot.
Nuggets are built on this San Antonio Spurs 0.5 mentality when you get it, and you either dribble, shoot, or pass immediately. And everybody does that, but Austin Rivers doesn't come from that cloth.
He just
stands out like a sore thumb.
He also has more shots blocked this season than field goals made.
It's wild.
Yo, that's
isn't that wild?
That's
really
and the
rough.
The worst part is that figure is 3. Yeah. which side of that coin is more alarming? Yeah,
that's pretty alarming. I think that we've seen the end of this. And it's funny, tonight there's a huge contrast between Jared Butler, who I think is a really good player, by the way. He would have been a top 20 pick had it not been for like the heart issue and the knee issues and this or that. But he was a second rounder. And it's interesting to me that you have a team in the Utah Jazz who's undefeated and playing a second round draft pick. And you have a team in the Denver Nuggets who, by the way, desperately needs the guy that they're not playing as a first round draft pick. And he's not playing. Mm-hmm. So I get Malone's MO. We talked about it before. But I also feel like we're four games in and it's, if it was a little like the bench, bench is an overall minus 15, or this, like, no, they're like a minus 40. Like this,
every single
really
stint
bad.
Has pretty much been in the negatives.
Drastically. I feel like it's weird to say. I do feel like it's probably time to say some of these guys just don't have it this year. And Austin Rivers is one of them. And look, he'll get another opportunity.
Yeah.
But even I thought tonight Faku, you know, I don't know how effective he was as a player tonight.
Not effective. I'll break the news for you. Not effective.
And I think he's been good like the last couple games. Like I actually think Faku has been effective.
He's had moments
this was
for sure.
This was one where I didn't think he was.
The crux of the bench issue was so clear tonight because we were talking about this during the game. If that group gets into the half court, the best outcome is a Jeff Green or JaMychal Green pick and pop.
What are you looking for in the Faku, Dozier, Rivers, Green and Green lineup? Like, what is it the best case scenario? You know, it's not a Faku getting to the rim or three. It's not really a PJ Dozier, you know, whatever. Like, it really is pick and pop with JaMychal Green or Jeff Green.
And they've gotten open. They just missed all of them tonight. Yeah. I think it was it was the second half against the Suns where Jeff Green hit a couple. So, like, they've hit them in the past. But, I mean, they just – those two went 0-4 from three tonight.
It's not very dynamic, for sure. Like, there's not a lot of dynamic where you're like, man, put them in this little pickle. It's like,
I'm surprised that PJ Dozier has been so invisible.
He's been disappointing.
He's been invisible.
Yeah.
And he showed up on the injury report, did he not? Wasn't he on the injury report? I wonder if something's going on with him. Because he is my pick for breakout player of the year not going so well.
He was everyone's pick.
Yeah. The bench unit is really rough. I do think that it's a unit that probably is not going to be working. And by the way, I don't think Bones saves the second unit. I just want to make this clear. Bones gives him.
He saves the Denver Nuggets.
No, but here's the thing, is I think that he gives you a shooter, and he gives you a ball handler. But if you just stick him in there with Faku and Dozier, I don't know if I love it. I honestly think it's both. It's a stagger, have one of Porter and Barton out there, probably Barton more often than not, and also Bones, and get those going in there. And that probably cuts out not just one player, but it probably cuts out one player out completely, and another player reduces their role.
Yeah,
and I think that's probably where this arrives. But really rough from this bench again tonight. I mean, you look at the sheet tonight. You go to the starters. Aaron Gordon was a minus one. You get a plus three from Will Barton, a plus two from Michael Porter, a plus seven from Yoke. Monte Morris was a minus three. The bench all double digit minuses.
That's stunning. It's stunning. So Malone last night talking about Bones Highland says, like, it's not like he hasn't played because he's not good enough. He hasn't played because I'm giving other guys opportunities. Austin Rivers has had his opportunity. He's had four games. He's been in that bench rotation for a half, then out of it in the second half, and two of them now.
Right.
So he's had his opportunity. Like, it's time to move on. And like you said, he'll get another shot. There will be injuries. I'm sure the bench will struggle at times again at some point this season, and maybe he'll have a chance to recapture that spot. But he's had his opportunity. He's had his chance. Move on.
Austin Rivers, by the way, tonight only 6 minutes was a minus 10, and he had a six trillion.
A bunch of zeros
in every category.
Hell minus 10.
And look, I'm not trying to point.
Part
of this is I don't want to pin this all on Austin Rivers again. Sure. Like whatever. But it's clearly he's not fitting in, and he probably needs to.
It's scapegoat
for sure.
But
all
the same, he's emblematic of what is going wrong with that unit in general. It's like you can point to one guy that's doing absolutely nothing, but everybody else is doing the same amount. But he's just doing extra nothing.
So 2 days off is a great time for you to make a change. I mean, the Nuggets will rest tomorrow. I'm sure there's no practice. They will practice on Thursday. They'll do something. Why do you laugh?
I was just thinking, like, what if there was a practice?
Yeah,
tomorrow?
There's a way you could, especially with Yoke hurt. Like, can you imagine? Like, you're going to give Yoke a get off his legs day. But we'll get to come back together on Thursday and go through something. And if you were to make a change, that is an opportunity to say, okay, here's what we're going with. Let's get some reps in and what have you. We got some super chats here, Kel. I understand that correctly here. Let's get to those. We appreciate the super chats, guys, sending us over the seas. Eric, good to see you tonight. My original super chat was blocked. insert sadness here.
Why was it blocked?
Well,
due to
thanks for that super chat.
Due to excessive sadness, I assume.
Yeah, this extra.
Is a vibes cast,
the vibes
bro.
That bad?
The vibes were that bad. Oh.
I can't. My eyesight's getting worse, guys.
It says Mike had a smart, mature game against the Suns. He'll be fine. Bones is inbound. D-line isn't driving off a cliff due to Yoke's injury. Yet that's what you think. We're okay.
Might be scootering off.
Sean
one.
Ingram, you're right. Those are all silver linings. I like it. Those
that's
are really
right.
good.
That's right. Look at
except for the D-line not driving off. Gordon with his losers lounge super chat. His losers Gordon. Lounge when we lost. But that was some hero ball in the third.
That was.
It was. And actually, it saved us. I mean, part of this is we felt good. Like Gordon, the team rallied. When Jokic goes down, the team rallied.
Oh,
and large
sure.
of what rallied was Barton. Barton just rallied.
That was an incredible stretch. He passed it maybe two total times, but it was an incredible stretch.
He was definitely gunning. Did he get my assist or no today?
Harrison Wynn describe his play.
Barton?
Yeah.
I mean, true Hooper.
Hooper!
He was in his finest Hooper form tonight.
All right, what else we got? Sorry for the downer super chat, but when are we going to realize that Face, Faku, and Rivers are both third-string guards on a good team?
Probably right now.
I mean, we just talked about it, about Rivers.
They did beat the Blazers in six games.
Let me say this. I do think that Rivers is a third string guard, meaning I don't think he's a top 10 guy on just about any team. With Faku, it's a little bit different because I do think like Faku provided a lot in that second game. Like Faku does have utility. I don't think he has utility given the Denver's makeup on that second unit. That's the thing. Some nights he will. He'll make the defensive impact. I do think playing him with Jokic and this or that, like there are lineups you could plug him in that will work and make sense. But he's not going to be able to run a lineup that all can get is pick and pops. Like,
yeah,
there's no pressure at the rim. Nobody can put pressure on the rim right now, and it's a very easy lineup to defend.
The thing about Faku's like a luxury.
Okay.
It's like when things are going well, like he comes in, he's fun, he brings energy, he changes pace, but like I think we're learning that you cannot like rely on his what he adds.
He can't fix a broken problem. He can like you have something going well, you put him in there and it like take it to the next level.
Yeah, like I mean he obviously possesses a lot of intangible qualities. He has a lot of skills that are like sort of immeasurable and he does things that you know, it gets the people talking, gets them moving. But like, then also when you are reliant on it, it's like if you just have like a Kawasaki super.
Sounds like you're opening up to my Galaxy Brain Faku idea.
Which one was that?
I can't
start
reveal
him?
It. No.
Start him?
Oh no.
I can't reveal it.
Play him at center.
It's too hot. I can't reveal it.
Stack Marcus and Faku together in one uniform.
But
so
it's like,
can't
but,
tell?
But it's like, having Faku is like having a super bike, and then it's raining some days, and you still have to take it to work.
This was a very not Faku had a very negative impact on tonight's game, meaning that his pressure defense had no impact on like. Utah handled that pressure so well. Like
Utah's too smart to succumb to that.
They're a little too smart for that. We have another one here. Bench bad, needs bones.
Correct.
Yep. MPJ's going to get his head out of his butt.
Okay.
Rivers out. Nuggets, I like how fragmented this is.
This
Nuggets,
is like a, this is like a bullet
to the point.
Nuggets
this is
will
like
be
a bullet point
fine. They lost because no Jokic. Jazz good. Still early?
I think I agree with most of that.
I do agree with that.
Why did you put a question at the end? Still early?
Still early. Still early.
No,
still
it's just
early.
A definitive statement.
I know, but I'm just
still early. I don't know where the emphasis goes. Thank you guys for the super chats. We always appreciate them so much. You guys rock.
There's 600 people watching this bummer cast.
I'm telling you guys one thing right now. The Losers Lounge, always like, by the end of segment one, I'm like over it.
Me too.
Yeah. You don't even need the rewatch to go back and say, it wasn't as bad as
it
looked.
I'll still do it because we got to do the list, but I'm just saying, like, I'm ready to move on. All right, guys.
Just gotta talk it out.
On the other side, segment two, we're going to talk about Aaron Gordon, who had a very up and down game. And of course, we're going to get into the Michael Porter-ness. Like, when is it time to panic, guys? Is it time to panic?
What if it was time to panic 4 games into the season?
What if it was?
We're like, guys, it's over.
I wish I had a Mile High City Copper Lager right now. I wish we had some.
Oh, man.
I could.
The bar always
really
plays the
one.
Saddest music when we lose.
I know. Everyone just cleared out and somebody decided to put
the jukebox has like a brain of its own. It's like, Losers Lounge.
That.
We're going to play some like Willie Nelson.
I think the brain of its own is our bar staff.
Oh, you think so?
I believe so.
It's got to be.
I gotta
this
fix
is
this.
Like, what is the like folk version of the blues?
Dude, they're like all, man, the vibes are bad. What if we put on an amalgamation of pop punk and sad country?
Sad country.
Anyways, pick up some Mile High City Copper Lager from your local liquor store. It's the official beer of the season. Pick some up from the Breck Brew Farmhouse. Sometimes your local grocery store has it as well. The Mile High City Copper Lager, of course, from Breck Brew. Let's talk about ball, guys.
Let's talk about ball, dude.
Not basketball.
Oh.
Let's talk about ball. as you guys know, we're now partnered with Ball across the entire DNVR network. As you probably also know, they're looking for production technicians here in their Golden plant. You can go to jobs.ball.com and search for Golden for more info. You're probably asking, what does a production technician do exactly?
Well, also, is Austin Rivers able to apply?
Jeez. the pay's not as good, I'll tell you that. Right. $27.39 per hour, though. Pretty good.
Not bad.
Not a veteran's minimum contract good.
Not bad. Not bad.
But not bad. With potential for an increase at 6, 12, and 18 months on the job. It offers exposure to a lot of other manufacturing opportunities in the plant. The production technician role touches on the other stages of production, making aluminum cans and ends. So if you want more info, jobsupall.com and search for Golden. You can make $27.39 per hour as a production technician.
Damn.
Dude, that's not too
shabby. Not a bad option.
Dude, not too shabby, but aluminum cans, dude. Hot, hot, hot.
Don't look up my search history.
I would never, by the way. I would never.
Jobs.ball.
Are we through? Are we through?
Yeah.
I want to remind everybody to subscribe to the DNVR Nuggets podcast. You know, we do these as live shows as often as we can, but there are also shows in between. There's not a game now until Friday. There's a Friday, Saturday back-to-back games for the Nuggets here. We'll have shows on Wednesday and Thursday as well. We'll probably do the list live like we did last time for DNVR members only. Fantastic show. If you guys are in the comments, share with people. It was I really am excited to do these film study deep dives. Very different from what we do here where we kind of break down, you know, instant reacts. Those ones go much, much deeper, and we actually share some of the film. So you're going to want to sign up, become a DNVR member. Go to thednvr.com, of course, just $5 a month. And you get a free shirt designed by this genius over here.
Let's go.
Working on some cool stuff too. Getting some heat going.
Ooh. Oh, a little heat. A little heat
for the winter.
A little heat on the streets.
And that's what I'm hearing. Streets are talking. All right, guys. Aaron Gordon tonight. Interesting game from him. You know, Aaron Gordon started what, 7 of 7, 6 of 6, yep, or 7 of 7, something like that tonight, and was looking really good. The turning point, or one of the turning points, was when he had the ball wide open on the wing, and the entire Vivint Smart Arena. Whenever the entire arena started being like, shoot it, and then
that's never a good sign.
And we were like, don't shoot it.
But he did have 20 points, 7 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, 1 block tonight. Like, this was a very encouraging game in my opinion,
yeah,
in a lot of ways for Aaron Gordon. But it was. I wonder if it's too much to expect 4 quarters of offensive efficiency from Aaron Gordon.
Well, what happened tonight, so he goes 1 of 5 from 3 last night. And what happened tonight in the first half, he was turning down wide open
threes.
Yeah,
he was. Yes,
he was. And he was going to the rim. He was attacking. He's playing bully ball. He's hitting these crazy fadeaway twos. I don't know how,
over,
but he was
over,
hitting
over
them. He was
over
getting
Gobert
to the rim.
He just ran hot. But yeah, but he was going. You're right.
He was attacking. He was super aggressive, turning down threes. In the second half, he went 0-3 from three. I don't think any of them were rather close. So he kind of reverted because I think Denver felt it kind of slipping away, and he was like, I got to do a little more. But I thought it was an encouraging night from him for sure. He and Will Barton were the two guys that when Yoke went out, they were like, all right, it's up to us. Aaron Gordon said, I'm back in Orlando, baby.
Right.
It's my time.
He still finished 9 of 13. Like, you know, this was still a very efficient game from him. So I do feel like there's, you know, Eric, are you feeling positive about Aaron Gordon right now? Negative
Absolutely.
Or mixed?
Okay. Absolutely. Yeah. Like, this is the Aaron Gordon we were promised. This is like, the thing is that, you know, when Yoke went down and all of a sudden we found ourselves in a position where Aaron Gordon was again lifted up to a new height where we were counting on his scoring, that's when he faltered. Which is what we saw down the stretch last season where it was like, man, is Aaron Gordon not good? It's like, no, he's miscast in this role. Like, Aaron Gordon being able to just be that complimentary player that is playing close to the rim, using his athleticism, using his physicality, and you know, making things happen that way. Like, yeah, as soon as he started shooting threes, it was like, all right, like, what are we doing?
Yeah, what are we doing here?
But he looked great. I mean, and he was defending well. Like, him picking up four fouls like pretty much put an end
that
to
was
the
in a row.
Oh, that was actually the actual
it was
point.
The that missed was the three end of, yes. when everybody was telling him to shoot it, but before that it was his him picking up that fifth foul.
Yeah. Well, it started with the second foul was it was overturned, right? At first it was called a blocking foul, and then they reviewed it. It was challenged, and then it was called a foul on him. So that was the first of three fouls in the course of like a minute of game clock. So a bit of a tough one. But I'm going to give him, you know, I thought Aaron Gordon was very good. And if you get that from Aaron Gordon every night, like you, Nuggets are, I mean, they're going to they're winning the championship. Will Barton, again, we talked about a lot. Monte Morris, 8 of 13 tonight, started to knock down some shots. 3 of 3 from the three-point line, and all of them were big. He was another guy that, if you want to look at some silver linings here tonight, he has not looked good this season. Tonight, he made some shots.
He was kind of in that mode. We saw him in that first-round series against Portland, I felt like. We was getting into the paint and then just super confident pulling up or trying to get to the rim or passing. He was just really decisive tonight and locked in and confident for one of the few times that we've seen this season. So big step forward for him. That's huge. I mean, 8 of 13, 3 of 3 from 3. He hasn't been shooting the 3 ball great. This is great. A definite silver lining for sure.
Silver lining for you, Monte Morris?
Yeah, he looked much better.
You were calling him medium game Tay at one point.
Yeah, medium game Tay. Well, yeah, he was stepping up. This is not a big game. This is a medium game.
8 of 13 is pretty good. 19
I'm saying
points.
Like this game against the Jazz, 4 games into the season, is a medium.
Oh,
level
I
game.
See. Okay.
He rose to the level of this medium game. Medium game Tay.
I'll tell you what's going to be interesting to track though. Last night, Will Barton said, "Look, I gotta be the guy, the top playmaker." I kind of took it as him saying, "I gotta be the point guard without Jamal Murray. I gotta be playmaking, assisting, and whatnot." He was definitely trying to be that guy tonight. Will was. Particularly when Yoke went out, he really took it upon himself to be the point guard. I'm just curious to see what happens, you know, what happens to Monte because of that. Because he'll be playing more off ball if he keeps shooting at grid from three. That's solid. But I'll just be monitoring that, how that dynamic kind of works.
Yeah.
Let's get into MPJ here in just a second.
Brendan, down the hatches.
Brendan Vogt right now, as we speak, is speaking with the guys in the locker room, Michael Malone, I'm guessing others. But we do have a clip that just came out I want to play here that I'm told is an update on Nikola Jokic. Let's play
it's
that.
Better be good.
Let's play that, Kelly.
I think, you know, I haven't really had a chance to see him post-game yet, Mike, or really talk to the trainers yet. I don't think it's anything too serious. I went up to Nikola as he was warming up at halftime. How do you feel? He says it feels a little weak, and I just shut him down.
Sure.
I took the decision. It's not his decision to make. Nikola's a tough kid. We've seen him time and time again play through injuries, never sit out. Second out of back-to-back, he's far too important for this team. For us to risk him being out there if he's not feeling confident about it. So, shut him down.
This one's on Malone.
What do you mean?
It said it was him. He decided not to play Yoke. Nuggets
oh, right. man. Malone, he's drunk with power.
This was a Reddit meme, by the way. They always say this. It's like one of their things. This one's on Malone. Honestly, like, I think it's a good call. I wanted to see. I think Yoke might have gone.
This is a medium game.
This is a 9 out of 10 times I feel like Jokic would have been fine. He comes back in. Bone bruises, I've had them before. They suck. They hurt. Mm-hmm. But Malone's not wrong. Second night of a back-to-back and you have a sore knee. You start walking a little different. You put a little stress.
You know who had a sore knee and came back?
Wow. You know what? That's actually accurate.
I think what that clip does tell us, and we even saw it at halftime when he came out and started to warm up, I think he's okay. He thought he could go back into the game clearly. Doesn't really seem like it's anything too serious. I think we dodged a bullet.
Have you ever done a knee-to-knee?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like it hurts. And here's the thing about a knee-to-knee. It feels like you hurt something. Like it feels like an injury for 5 minutes. And then it kind of goes away, and you're like, oh, no, that's just a really bad bruise that's going to hurt as a bad bruise for a while. And if anybody touches it, it's going to hurt really bad.
It's always so weird, though, when Yoke – look, he never gets injured.
He also never, like, winces unless there's something hurt. Like
He never falls.
He doesn't do the Anthony Davis where everything is, like, laid down for, like, 10 minutes.
Which, by the way, Anthony Davis – we're thinking of you. We saw you get hurt and hold your face. We were worried about you. He rose back up, yes, played the rest warrior. Of the game.
It is true, though. Warrior. Honestly, what happened with Yoke tonight does happen to Anthony Davis like every three games. Yeah. He goes down and is down for, every three games. Quarters.
But it never happens with Yoke because he never gets injured other than that sprained ankle 3 years ago now. But he also never falls. So it's just always weird when he goes to the ground. Oh. It's just weird.
Last time Yoke got hurt, he invented a brand new shot that's unguardable.
Oh, man.
Are we about to get a brand new unguardable shot?
He hurt his right knee, so it'd be off the left foot.
All right, it's off the left
foot. It's going to be the Dreamcatcher dunk?
The Dreamcatcher. The Dreamcatcher, too. He does have that. It's the lesser known, but the Dreamcatcher is another one of his little moves.
It is the lesser known of the two.
The lesser known, the Sambor Shuffle. I can't wait to find out what this new move is Yoke's going to bust out. But
he better, or else we'll be pissed at him.
Yeah, come on, Yoke.
Every 4 years, he gets a minor injury and invents a new shot to compensate for, like, one day. It's also like his ankle injury, he missed, like, two games and invented a new shot. So I just love this that, like, most players, it'd be like it a whole... Like
five.
I had, the whole year I had to play with my shoulder hurt, so I did the... He's like... I don't know, 36 hours, I had to change something for that time frame. And guess what? I invented...
I just redefined basketball.
Yeah, I just redefined the entire game. It's so amazing. So expect Jokic to come back even more dominant from this injury.
Unbelievable.
All right, guys.
Don't do it. Don't make us
feast
do it.
The feast de resistance. Or is it the piece de resistance?
First off, it's the
piece.
It's
the feast de resistance.
You reserve that for the best part.
Yeah, this is the worst part.
I said batten down the
Everybody
hatches.
Crack your beer.
I was just trying to think, is there anything else on earth that you batten down? Or is it only the hatches?
Down the hatchet.
Batten down this bar.
Dope.
I had a Nuggets playoff game.
Batten down these nuts.
Oh, God.
I don't know. We That's what it sounds like.
All right. Michael Porter Jr. So here's what's interesting about this one. Michael Porter has not found shots for himself in the flow of the offense. Or if you want to phrase it a different way, I really don't care. The Nuggets haven't found shots for Michael Porter in the flow of the offense. Whichever side of that phrasing you want to be on, I don't care. I don't think it's important. In the third quarter, and in particular in the fourth quarter tonight, there's no Jokic. You think, Malone says, we call plays for Jokic all the time. Third quarter, he barely touches the ball. Fourth quarter, he touches the ball every single possession for about eight and comes away with one three-pointer. Really struggled. And here's the thing. Like, look, it's a small sample size. But I am a little bit concerned about Michael Porter right now, both like his fitting in and just like this or that. But also, this is weird to say, I'm a little concerned about his confidence. Mm. Not his like long-term confidence, but he just seems to me like a guy that like doesn't know what's going on with him. He's like, why am I not getting more touches? Why am I not making shots? Like, just so frustrated with everything and overwhelmed a little bit.
Yeah.
That's my concern.
He's looked a little shaken through these four games.
Yeah.
And there was one play tonight that I felt kind of defined his last three games because he was okay in Phoenix. It was okay. But when he got Rudy Gobert ISO'd and then just didn't know what to do, didn't know if he wanted to step back, didn't know if he wanted to take him off the dribble to the hoop, and then turned it over, that to me was like, he's just kind of shook right now.
Yeah.
He doesn't really know his role. He's unsure of his place. He's not confident in his own abilities, which is crazy because there are very few people on this earth less confident than Michael Porter Jr.
It's true.
More confident than Michael Porter Jr.
There's a lot of people less.
Yeah. Nobody is more confident than this guy. He's got the utmost confidence. And it's just weird to watch because we had sky-high expectations for him coming into the season. And I really thought that, and I still think this, a lot of this regular season just hinges on him being able to take the offensive burden off Jokic on nights here and there so he doesn't wear down throughout the season until Jamal Murray gets back. That's what most of the season comes down to for me. And he's just been disappointing, man. He's looked a little more engaged here and there on defense. Overall, I still thought he'd be better on that end. And he's just got to shoot it better. He's got to get more involved. Nuggets have to get him more involved. He's just got to step it up. It's pretty plain and simple.
See, I don't even think that the Nuggets need to get him more involved. They start off every game like running three or four plays for him. Like he comes around, he's got his curl shot. He's just missing. He's missing everything. It's crazy. Like he had like 19 shot attempts. Like he's not suffering from not getting the ball, people not looking for him. I'm like, he's got it.
Most of the shots he takes are crap though.
Well, that's another issue altogether. It's like, but he's getting shots. The other thing is like, I just noticed, like, he's just, like, kind of floating around. Yep. Like,
man, not, like, late in that down. Fourth quarter, is like he was running away from the basketball.
Totally.
I think that's why I say I think he lost confidence.
I was stunned he got the ball and shot that three to hit the over.
At the very end. Because there were, like, he missed, like, five in a row. He went, like, 1 of 5 or something on this where he was just going to shoot it every time. But there was a little bit of, like, nerves, this, that. I felt at the end of the game, and the game was pretty much over, I did feel like he was just running away. Like, they would turn to him, and he'd be like, cut, get out of the lane. And look, man, he's just in hell right now, and you have to go through that sometimes as a player. And I think for him, he has to, I imagine. He has to be thinking, like, I've already gone through hell. I didn't get off the bench for 2 months my rookie season, and then in the playoffs, everybody attacked me, and I'm in the side. Like, he has to think, like, I paid those dues. But here we are in year three, and at least through four games, it's like you're back to square one in some ways, and it doesn't feel like he is one step away from unlocking it all, although he might be, but it just doesn't feel like that right now.
I've seen the question asked. We sort of asked it a little bit. It's like, is the weird extra things that Michael Porter Jr. is being subject to every single game, every single place we go to, because of the decisions he's made or not made about the way that he's handled his health? Like, can we read into that? Like, he's not practicing.
I don't know.
Like,
and I don't, here's the thing. I don't know how fair that is. Because
I'm just throwing it out there.
It might be fair. It might be 100% fair. Cause you're right. Look.
And what D-line means is, like,
the vaccine, of course.
But technically, I think in the COVID rule book, you have to sit in a different section of the plane. You have to sit in a different part of the locker room. You have to sit away from your teammates at meals, stuff like that.
The NBA has purposely made it alienating to players, and for health reasons, right? They're like, hey, we're trying to block transmission here or there. But also, I think, let's be honest, probably for pressure reasons too, is like the NBA doesn't want the bad PR, so they want to, like, make it difficult. I don't know. It might be fair. I'm not trying to. I want to talk about it. I'm just saying I don't know that. And maybe that's a question for this week. I imagine it is a fair question at this point to kind of ask, because this is one of the layers to it. And obviously, Michael Porter, however you feel about it, is extremely principled.
Yes.
Right. Like, he is sticking to his guns through this. But it is also a thing that could be like the distraction or alienating, or just at the very minimum, adding to the things that are on his plate.
Yeah, it's
this
just
year.
One of these things. It's like, okay, cool, not an issue, except for that we've never seen him look worse.
Right. That's
so now,
a great point.
Now you have to start to be like, okay, so what the hell's going on? Like,
right.
Why can't this guy shoot? Like, this guy is supremely talented. He has all of the ability in the world. He's a giant guy. There's no reasonable explanation for why he has fallen off so precipitously, so quickly. So you start to, like, just look around, like, it. I don't know, like, is he, whatever, you have the wrong tennis shoes. Is somebody?
I think it's fair, because the bigger picture, like, question for me is, like, I'm just surprised he's looked this bad to start the year.
I am very
surprised, because he had that great run to end the regular season, had some great moments in the playoffs, had this great summer. I mean, working out with Steph Curry, like, everything seemed like it was lining up. Great training camp for him to really hit the ground running. So I'm more than anything just pretty surprised that he's looked this lost.
Totally.
The lost part is it. Yeah, because if it was just missing shots, but they were all the shots exactly as you envision in your head, the shots that he should be getting alongside Yoke. Like, if it was that, you'd be like, man, he's coming around at some point. But the fact that he's just not really getting to him, and that he can go large stretches where it's like he's out there, but he's not actually getting the ball in these spots, that's the part that's concerning. Hey, it's four games. It's so safe to say it's a trend. Like, this is not a whatever.
And with Michael Porter, it can totally flip in one game.
Of course, dude. We could
He's
have a,
exactly that type of player.
We could have a Porter quarter of the season.
What would be a bigger surprise to you guys over the next four games? That Michael Porter completely turns it around and plays, you know, significantly better? Or that Jokic turns it around, I guess that's not the right way, but plays significantly worse? Because Jokic is playing as great as Michael Porter is playing poorly to start the season.
Definitely.
Jokic is playing better than his MVP pace last year. It's insane.
We thought Nikola Jokic would come into this season looking like the MVP, and he has. It's happening again, guys. It's happening again. He looks like the best player in the NBA yet again.
I'm telling you, he
so
looks
that's
better.
Not changing.
He looks better. This is he looks better than
the best player in the NBA.
He does look better.
He looks better than he was last year.
That's what
he was the best player in the NBA.
This is what I'm saying is the king of the game. Yeah, we gotta go ahead and hit it. He only played 15 damn minutes. He had 6 assists, didn't he?
No,
he had 6 assists according to ESPN.
Why are you trying to steal assists from the king of the game, bro?
According to NBA.com.
Why are you stealing that assists Utah out of scorekeeper?
That damn Utah mouth. Scorekeeper. 24 points, 6 rebounds. We'll say 6 assists, whatever. You always go with the higher number. Honestly, I'm not even exaggerating. Like, he just has a different level of.
Different man.
Different man. No, but he has a different level of, like. He just knows all these shots are going in, and he's always shot at a good clip, but he's shooting these now, right now, where it's like, honest to God, I'm surprised when he misses anything.
Yes.
Like, literally any shot doesn't go. I'm like, what?
Yeah, but he
it's like a field goal kicker.
He's shooting like 70% on the
what?
Year.
Yeah,
but
that fadeaway, the one that he missed, I was like, oh man, you know, he's kind of missing some shots.
And then I looked, the only shot he missed. God, man, he's gone cold.
It's just so loud. Every shot he misses, you're like, what?
I honest to God can't believe it. Like, think about us, Harrison. We've been doing this for 6 years now. Just think about us 6 years ago when we were talking about how good we thought this guy was or this or that. Now you watch him and you're just like, he's honestly, like, still, it's still the straight line of improvement towards perfection. We're like 2 years away from actual perfection. Where it's like, what did he shoot this year? 100%.
When he just shows up like Dr. Manhattan, he's turned blue. He just floats. He's like, you're like, he's definitely going to quit and play baseball, right? He's going to go Michael Jordan on us or water polo.
Water polo.
Let's take our final break here because it is voting time. And I can't wait to hear what's going on in the locker room. I can't wait to get a medically accurate and insightful update from Dr. Vote here about Jokic to calm all of our nerves.
Do you want me to speculate about structural stuff?
Let's
do some research during this break. Guys, make sure to hit up manscaped.com. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code DNVR. 20% off plus free shipping with the code DNVR. I'd recommend the Performance Package 4.0. It includes the Weed Whacker, a total game changer to your hygiene arsenal.
The Weed Whacker's tight. That's the nose one, right?
Yeah.
The Weed Whacker is the nose and ear hair.
That's right. I haven't tried the ear part yet. I'm not a very hairy ear guy. Do your ears get hairy, D-Line?
I have never trimmed my ear hair.
We know. Trust me, we know.
We talk
gone
about
to
it.
My mustache.
Let's just say that weeds grow where you don't want them to.
That makes sense. I get it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you whack weeds, bro.
Yeah, you whack weeds.
The performance package also
whack
comes
your nose
with
bush.
The crop preserver.
Hey, I'm telling you,
deodorant and crop reviver, ball toner.
Every podcast like has Manscaped as a partner, but use our promo code, guys. Use ours.
We're the ones
telling you. Join the club.
Use the code DNVR for 20% off plus free shipping.
It's one thing we all do. So like, if you want to be like in the club, that's one way you could connect with us.
Seriously,
peer pressuring our listeners and viewers to Manscaped.
That's right, baby.
At DraftKings.com. This week, on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, they've got you covered. New customers can bet just $5 on any NFL team to win their game. If they do, you win $200 in free bets.
Do not bet on the Broncos.
Do not bet on the Broncos.
No, do bet on the
bet
Broncos.
Bet against the Broncos.
To lose.
What? Take the under, Dev.
The Broncos sucks so bad.
Have we shit on Dev yet?
Sorry. Love the Broncos.
No, we've not gotten to that. Okay, we've not gotten to Dev's lock.
I'll wait for that. Yeah.
DraftKings Sportsbook. They also offer same-game parlays. Football, basketball, tons of sports. You can get same-game parlay action. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code DNVR. Bet just $5 on any NFL team to win their game. Win $200 in free bets if they win. With promo code DNVR this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older, Colorado only, new customers only, restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. And if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Finally, at Solace Meds.
This is Adele, right? This is
throughout the month of October, only about another week to get these deals. Dixie Gummies 25% off, Solace Bars 25% off, Solace Sticks 25% off, Mile High Extraction Summit 1906 drops all 25% off as well. They've got an awesome deal for Halloween also, October 30th, October 31st. The entire store, buy three items, get one free.
They need to clarify that because buy three items might be ounces. Like what? What is there like a limit
on
what I can buy?
I'm
gonna
ask for clarification on this read.
Like getting business ideas.
I don't want to tell you what my units are at Solace, but they're large.
They're larger
than my DraftKings units.
I'm gonna ask for a pool report on this.
That's smaller than your own personal.
I do know this is the fact though. When you mention the code DNVR20, you're gonna get 20% off. You're also going to get a free Solace Bar or King Cone with your purchase. That's valid at all four Colorado locations. Fort Collins, Wheat Ridge, Broadway, East Colfax. Check out Solace Meds.
Before we get to vote and some locker room updates here, I just sent you a tweet that's been making the rounds around Nuggets Twitter. I don't want you guys to ever feel like you're missing out when you're in the show. So bring it on up. We got Bol Bol. He's out here liking the tweets today. He's online. This is a like. And somebody says, hey, Nuggets need to trade Bol Bol. Got talent just wasted on the bench. I got a newsflash. Nuggets wanted to.
Yeah.
Nuggets have wanted to trade Bol for a while.
I'm not saying that's not real. That like isn't there on Bol's profile right now. Of course, I'm sure someone
could have
sent
it.
A text. Look, I'm just saying.
Spoiler alert. Bol's wanted to trade for a while. The Nuggets have wanted to trade him for a while.
Wind chimes.
They haven't gotten any offers that they wanted to capitalize on. That's the facts.
That would not make any sense for the Nuggets to not use Bol and be like, but we're not trading him. We're just going to let his contract expire.
They just put the ticket to Grand Rapids in his locker and hope he takes it.
We could trade Bol Bol, but then who will mope on the bench? can we get a moping?
We're
new
real
player?
Losers laundry.
We're really losers energy coming out. We were so happy you showed up.
I'm in a great mood.
You didn't even say anything. I just freaking downvote.
Downvote.
All right, hey. So tell us what say, man. What the guys have to say about
what
this
say
game?
You?
All right, a little housekeeping. Michael Malone says he doesn't think it's anything too serious. That's a quote about Jokic's
knee.
Take note of that.
Okay.
But he was in a good mood when he spoke. With regards to him warming up then coming back out, that was all Malone's call. Jokic told him it feels a little weak, and Malone just said, "What's the point of sending you out there on a back-to-back?" So, precaution. Malone's
I'm glad Jokic
call.
Told him that.
You know, it feels a little weak. It feels like granite instead of
marble.
I put an inquiry in about Will Barton grabbing at his thumb there at the end of the game. He just jammed it. He should be fine.
I don't know. Jammed thumbs suck.
Yeah, I know, but I.
What did you think might have happened?
Just jam will be fine.
Okay.
That
what solid. You,
that sounds like that's
the
update
like
I have
the
for
sandwich
you.
I'm gonna was have
it,
after yeah. the game.
Was it severed?
All right, bro. I'm sorry. Did you want me to not try to find out if Barton got hurt tonight?
Fighting in the losers' level.
What grade sprain did he say it was?
What if Barton had torn a ligament in his thumb and no one asked? What about that? What about that?
That's what I'm trying to get the information.
All right. Well, you have it. Anyway. Okay. Malone was in a good mood because the team fought back in the third quarter. Quote, no one dropped their head. No one quit. No woe is me. He said he hates when people feel sorry for themselves.
Me too.
We know that.
But, quote, we don't have that. Not in our DNA. Update.
One thing me and Malone have in 24 hours? have in common.
I know. No, I immediately thought of examples
for themselves
of them.
After last night. They're done feeling sorry for themselves.
From Malone. Quote, I've got to figure our bench out. End quote. He mentioned shortening the rotation as one possibility.
Don't like that.
He conceded that something has to change.
Some research.
But moving Rivers to the one, Faku to the two. Like what?
Right.
Wait, what?
I don't know if he means
the same lineup.
I don't know if he means like literally shorter play. I think he means like maybe someone doesn't play and
maybe
one of the starters is in there.
Marcus Howard.
You do not need to go to a
9-man rotation 5 games into the season. You just don't, man. You got capable players on this team.
Hey, we've learned this lesson. When Malone says I'm gonna play Bones, he's not gonna play. And when he says I'm not gonna play, so he says I'm gonna shorten the rotation, he's gonna add Bones. Like this is how it is.
Yeah.
It's actually gonna be an 11-man rotation.
The thing is though, he has shortened the rotation early in like the regular season before. He has.
Look, I get that everyone's going to have jokes about that quote. Just keep in mind that for the first 3 games, the quotes were, we're going to stick with the bench. And tonight it was something
some
different.
Progress.
So I think he's seeing what everyone else is seeing.
It's not exactly a huge light bulb going off. Like I hope you see.
This is the common refrain for Michael Malone. We talk about this. Like he just lets things play out until it's all questions have been answered. Then it's like, all right, let's switch. I mean, it's good. You don't want a guy that's like a flip flopper jumping back and forth. Like the premise was wrong. He let it play out. So now we'll fix it.
On the J-Mike fight, you guys aren't going to believe this. Malone liked it. The skirmish, whatever you want to call it. He's a guy that I would want in my foxhole. I know J-Mike has my back and I will always have his back.
No, please not again.
Freaking love Malone, man.
We got to work on the phrasing on that one, but I know J. Mike has my back, and I will always have it back. We talked to Monte Morris, who...
Malone just, like, lives in the foxhole.
Yeah.
Every day, he's just trying to figure out who he wants in his foxhole. He, like, wakes
he's
up...
like, I'm going to lunch. Yeah. Who wants to come to the foxhole?
He wakes up, and the first thing he does is adjust his foxhole power rankings. J. Mike is now number one.
J. Mike is definitely number one on his foxhole power rankings.
He's right. Always trying to figure out
who's in. Fox is always top three.
Yeah. Yeah. Fox is always a piece of paper on his wall, literally a circle.
You know what's going to happen? You know what we need? Bones, when he gets in next game, needs to get in a fight.
Right.
Faku got in a fight last game.
One way to stay in the rotation.
Faku got in a fight last game. J. Mike got in a fight this game.
Malone's like, I love those dudes. How long do you think we can keep up a streak of scuffles in a Nuggets game?
Yeah, like anytime a Nuggets
in a row.
Who do they play next?
Oh, come on. Dallas. Who could it be? Let's go. Dude, Porzingis.
Porzingis and J. Mike.
No, but Porzingis isn't good. Yeah, it'll be like that where someone's walking away. And
I mean, J. Mike got Whiteside, who, Whiteside got into that, and I was 100% certain there were no punches that were going to be thrown. Similar vibe with Porzingis.
Yeah, there was a talk about it, be about Hassan it White split flag. In that fight, I think.
There definitely was.
Hassan Fightside? That was good, dude. What are you running the DNVR Nuggets account over there? Hey, so Monte Morris was given was asked about this being his best game, and he sort of declined that opportunity to talk himself up. He actually sort of reframed it as, sure, by default, but he expects to be much better. And then he sort of talked about adjusting to the new role. So I followed up from there and wanted to ask more questions about his slow start through three games after his best game of the year, which I'm sure he just loved. I asked him if the injury and the suboptimal offseason factored into his start at all, if he's looking for his rhythm. And he shook that off, and he said no. I got my rhythm. I just have to be aggressive. And it's a mindset thing. Sort of what, this is just me talking obviously now, sort of what Jamal Murray was learning, right? The difference between you got to be aggressive and look for yours and be yourself,
yeah.
But his responsibility is to get everyone else going.
I feel way more confident about Monte.
Me too.
I really like this
for
game
sure.
tonight.
For sure.
And then he said, I can't dwell on any games that I didn't play to the best of my ability, which I heard as, please stop asking me about not playing well.
Right.
But, you know, so it goes. Aaron Gordon was asked if he's in Mike's ear at all with this start. He said, of course. And he said, Mike is one of the most skilled shooters I've ever been around. I'm not worried about Mike. He's going to keep shooting. Same line. Same line you get when you ask any of the players about Mike.
Of course. I mean, of course. Like, Michael Porter Jr. gave us the most efficient scoring season.
Since
the
Wilt.
Second, since Wilt last season. I mean, we know he can shoot. He's just... not for some reason. It's troublesome.
That's it, fellas.
How mood, about general mood.
Fine. Yeah. Malone was actually fairly chipper. Yeah.
You think this is one of those ones, like when Yoke went down, it's like, okay, worst case scenario, Yoke's out for the season and everything's terrible. And then like when you just merely lose to the Jazz, you're like, you know what? Not that bad.
You know, well, ironically, you know who wasn't in a good mood was Monte. He just didn't look very pleased. And that's
probably because we kept being asked by have you sucked so far?
No. He was there from the jump. I mean, he was given an opportunity to talk about playing better tonight, and he really talked about how he needs to be better. So that's why I followed up that way. But I just thought that was good to know.
Do you think AG is in Michael Porter's ear like, dude, just take a hit of this?
he's like, bro, you seem stressed.
You seem really stressed. Oh, my God. All right, we got a couple super chats we're going to get to on the way out the door. You go ahead and cue that outro music there. We got one from Francisco. Second unit needs a real center. Faku needs a center. So this is what I was talking about, by the way,
should
earlier.
Should we look up free agent centers? That could be fun.
Can we go get Hart? No, this is the thing, though. Like, you need a... Faku, this is what he said. Like, is he... Rivers is a third stringer. I'm not sure Faku is a third stringer. I think he might be a second stringer in the NBA in the right circumstance.
Right.
He's
right.
Not an 30-team second stringer, but I do think there's a lineup out there that could work for him. Jeff Green's pick and pop can't be the bench first option. It is. Spoiler alert. It's like the second option, too. This is what's so wrong with the bench. And it is. And if so, what's the second? Miss Hartenstein. Doing good on Clippers, just saying.
That is a hilarious sentence. It's not even wrong, but I'm going to laugh every time someone says it this year.
I'm telling you guys.
Adam's about to. Get ready to laugh.
Oh, I believe what he's
I
selling.
Think Hartenstein's like not that bad. I think he's a backup center is what I think he
is, me
which
too.
Is like pretty good.
I thought he just didn't actually get a ton of run in Denver. I know
he didn't
look great, but he just
didn't
get a lot of
You know what happened? The Nuggets started 1-4. Michael Malone went to the, like, that's it. We're not doing anything. We're not experimenting at all this year. And then he was cut. New bench. Number one, Marcus Howard. Number two, Bones Highland. Number three, PJ Dozier. Number four, Zeke Nagy. Number five, Bol Bol.
Hello.
At least the bench will be interesting, and maybe they score. I think that's one way to make the bench worse. It's a tough task, but I think going Bol Bol.
That bench is more
protector.
Suited for a G League game than.
I can't imagine a Marcus Howard Bol Bol like a steady.
He
minute.
Is right that it would be more interesting.
Oh, so much more interesting.
Yeah,
I love the super chat, but I think it's a look. I don't think the bench has a quick solve. I do think it's probably a little tough, but I don't think it's Zeke Nagy and Bol Bol just yet, and not Marcus Howard.
And it's probably not a free agent center. I'm looking at the list right now.
What's Costa Kufis up to?
I know.
Timofey Mozgov still around?
What's the most encouraging name you could give us?
I mean, I'm actually surprised nobody's brought up DeMarcus Cousins yet because Nuggets fans have had this infatuation.
Well, here's the thing. DeMarcus, he is a free agent, isn't he?
I heard on the radio.
He's a Malone guy.
I heard on the radio we were going to get Kevin
what
Love.
A nightmare. Kevin Love, yeah.
Let's just run through some other big man free agents.
Oh, wow. This is fun.
Jahlil Okafor.
Okay.
Okay.
Not a rim roller.
What about
terrible.
Pat Connolly?
Myers Leonard, also.
Oh, wow.
Hey, the Nuggets love culture, guys. The Nuggets love culture, guys.
The Nuggets are going to get so desperate they get Myers Leonard.
My culture.
All right, we got to end the show.
Harrison specifically.
Harrison's not feeling
Thanks,
it.
Thanks, everybody.
As your Colorado rugby team has rebranded again, this one's here to stay. The American Raptors. They play at Infinity Park. They are composed of crossover athletes that play tons of different sports and come from backgrounds in football, basketball, baseball, wrestling, soccer, and track and field. And the American Raptors have turned them into rugby players. They're Rugby Town USA's newest rugby team. Like I said, composed of athletes who have competed at the highest levels of their respective sports. And now have turned to rugby. They play at Infinity Park right here in Denver, Colorado. American Raptors games are free. You do need a ticket, though, so head to AmericanRaptors.com, check out their schedule, grab a free ticket there. If you can't make it to a game, AmericanRaptors.com will be streaming all of their games on that website as well. It's fun for the family. It's a fun weekend event. If you want tickets, AmericanRaptors.com. They play at Infinity Park right here in Denver.